Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Ma'am.
How are you today?
I am all right, thank you.
Just a little correction to make an earlier announcement. You had said that St. Michael's lost two principals.
St. Michael's
but
School.
But in truth and in fact, it's three.
Okay, and the third one.
Miss Constance Innes.
Oh yeah, I forgot
her.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot she had passed earlier. Yep. Thank you for the correction. Yes, St. Michael's School has taken a dip.
Pardon?
So St. Michael's School took a hit, apparently.
Oh, yes. Major. Really, really sad. Really, really, really sad. But we learned a lot from them. And so...
Well, you heard my challenge, right? That the SMS people have to now live up to that... standard and pass it on. my daughter went to school there, so I have to see my. I have to see my bias.
You know a bias too well then.
Oh yeah, and the security guards still shout me when they pass me. A well known face. Yeah.
Yes, and one thing to another thing. Mm-hmm. That sad occurrence in Union Island. That is so awful.
Yeah.
So for all persons in Barbados who might be from Union Island or have connections in Union Island, our condolences.
Mm-hmm.
Very, 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 very sad. And those young people, you know, might have been earning the little dollar to send back home to their families and whatnot and to blast their lives like that.
Ma'am, you know, I have to tell you again, that's another one of the soft spots in my heart because to me, the Grenadines is the way... The Grenadine Islands... When I see the Grenadines, I think this is how the master made the world before we made a mess of it. Right? That's the truth, okay? And when I heard, for example, the governments of Grenada and St. Vincent tugging boat here and there. And I mean, I know the distance between Peter Martin, Carrico, Union Island, and Peter St. Vincent. I mean, it's like going from here to the market as opposed to going from here to Oystens. So if Grenada is Oystens, I could go by the market here and get two cans of corned beef and a gallon of oil. You think I really worry about Grenada all out in Oystens? And the fact that Union Island belonged to St. Vincent and Carrico belonged to Grenada, foolishness. That's politician nonsense.
Whichever.
And the other thing is, if I go across to Union Island or Carrico, I seen Derrochet, Bethel, Belma, Olivier, Roberts. I seen the same names in Carrico. If I go Grenada, I ain't seen that. I seen De Gaulle and it's family. They're all family. It's like Barbados and Braffitt. You know, you're Braffitt, you're Major Aline, yeah. You know, no matter where you are. Chandler,
I
you know.
Know that. I
oh yeah.
Know that,
the family that. Connections run deep. And that's why when you see or you hear about things like that, the loss of life and the mourning is really, really great in those islands. Because the blood runs deep. Deeper than passports and anything else. That's why I tell you the way the world was before we made a mess of it.
Before we made a mess. And that was the end of that.
Yep. We decided to be civilized. and we not civilized at all. But thank you for making
anyone there know though.
Yep. Thank you for wrapping me on the knuckles. It is really sad that those islands, the islands of the Grenadines, even some of our own islands, Barbados, I'm including you in this, visitors see more of the beauty of who and what we are than those of us who actually live in the areas. We see the shortfalls, we see the problems and the beauty we miss. And sometimes it takes someone coming from somewhere else to say, you know what, this is where the beauty is. It lies here. And that's why you got the multimillionaires and billionaires who have villas and isolate themselves here when they need to relax from the stresses of what they do to earn the money. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Grandpa Phillips here.
Yes, sir.
Right, I just wanted to really endorse your comments regarding that cutthroat and tendering, and just clarify what fair tendering really is.
Uh-huh.
Because tenders should never allow competitors to look at someone else's tender while the tender is still open. So someone should not receive a tender, say for $15,000 or $25,000 worth of work, and then share that with a competitor to go and undercut them. That's not fair tendering. That's mm-hmm. that's actually corruption.
Okay.
Fair tendering means that everybody receives the same description of work to be done. And that includes the test to be carried out, because I heard the contractor talking about these tests and he's not happy with them. But contractors, they generally don't like the test materials, even though they were included in the tender.
Hmm.
So the owner should not want to have defective blocks and weak concrete and substandard steel reinforcement. But the tender should describe the quality of the building materials and also the test to be carried out, so that the person certifying the work, like the engineer, has enough evidence to certify it. So the only way we will know if it's good quality is if we test it. And in the tender itself, it would have a cost for testing. But a lot of contractors don't really like to go and spend the money on doing the on doing those tests, but they must do them. Yeah, so I just want to clarify that one there. Because
mm-hmm.
I have been in meetings, overseas really, it's in government meetings, and overseas consultant would come and just ask to see the tenders of his competitor and be shown them. Just great corruption. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff, but all that is really, it shows how immature the market is. No one should show a competitor the tender of another competitor. Now, what usually happens, though, is when it's time to open the tenders, all the contractors really can be present, and therefore they can know what the other tendered, but not the details. But they could know, yes, this one tendered.
And that one, yeah. The persons who their competitors, as opposed to what...
They can all gather in the same room,
mm-hmm.
because all of them should be opened at the same time. So that everyone knows that, I know my KMA low or my KMA too high, and therefore it will help them, maybe I'll improve on the next one. So mm-hmm. they should get a little guidance,
right.
But they should not...
Know what is... What's
yes,
there.
Go through all the rates and see what the other one tendered. That is unfair.
Yeah.
And, let me not speak too much, but it just shows that the market is not mature enough, but we should improve.
Should.
Right.
All right.
Good.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
I'm late, no?
I hope not.
Now, give me some time. Yeah. I was quite stung when I heard Brother Nasser.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this morning, I'm taking a different line socially and the development of the working class in Barbados. And I want you to take time. When I finish, or when you interject, please tell me when you're finished with me. Don't let me like the other day. I was still holding on, expecting to answer you, but...
Okay.
Good. Now, I heard NASA this morning. To be honest with you, I can't help but laughing. He is talking about a few people in Barbados getting to work. You can remember that?
Sir, I never forget what happens on this program, unfortunately.
No, I like that.
Unfortunately.
Yes. But then he went on. He went on to say it has nothing to do with the government. Now, you ever hear some madness yet? You ever hear some madness? You're talking about certain people in this country getting work. Now, the ones might not gain work or got work. You can't tell the private sector who to get a work to. You could only talk to the government that gain out the work. And then to come back talking about equally distribution, and this body should get work, and not only a few, and they tell you, it ain't nothing to do with the government. He could have kept his mouth shut. Strictly that. Let me go on now, Dennis. I like to be straight. When I hear foolishness coming every day and talking about this body getting work, and then you don't want... It's like You want eggs and gun before a cult to get eggs. A cult is for you, eggs are milk.
Huh? The ones I know have sore nipples.
No, let me go on, though.
I'm sorry.
Dennis, I was reading True last night, and I gotta give you another one. You believe that, before I get to the Clicquot issue, you believe the curfew interfere with what you would consider the white people?
If it interfere with them, in what way? Yes, it did. No. So Charles called this program, complained that he can't have horse racing, he can't play polo, and he can't go on yacht fishing. He said so.
Yeah, I talk about the curfew. I talk about what are restricted.
So that's the curfew. Well, yeah, specify which one you mean. You mean the 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew?
Yes.
What is due between those hours?
You know, between 6 o'clock and 7, you don't have to wait people in the road.
I don't be on the road between 6 and 7 anyhow because I can't see. I'm blind.
But what I am saying...
You would be on the road too often.
You don't find those people on the road easily.
Why?
But that's their style.
Oh, okay. They just go home early?
They go home. Right? But the black man wants by road at 1 o'clock.
Because he got things to take care of in the night.
All right.
You can't tell me when to do business. Look, let me ask you something. Hold on. You say you're a taxi driver, right?
Yeah.
That's your business, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. You don't get business between midnight and 5 a.m.?
But you know
tick,
who that does
talk, me? Tick, tock.
You know who that does
I ain't me? Asking you that. I just ask if you have business between midnight and 5 a.m. Okay. All right. I can leave now.
Right. You will find the tourists come out after 10 o'clock.
Mm.
And they sleep in the day and come out after coming out the beach and stuff.
Right. And then they go out and they have dinner and they,
Right.
The only problem is, and here's my problem. The only problem is, right, we only do tours in the day. We don't drive them out at night. And we should. So they can see the beauty of the island at night.
For sure.
Take them out, you know.
For sure, those people, they...
Where they can see the moonlight. I know.
And if I tell you something, you would then be laughing.
Which is?
If I get the Lawrence Gap. Because I have to want to get my oysters, and I got to collect them about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I just got them to the red light. I got them to the garrison and show them all night life.
I can put up two blocks on the top and the bottom of Bush Hill, and I can charge admission. You almost not have free show. I grew up in that area. I need a little money for my retirement. Listen, they got a house right. They got a big, nice building right on the corner, right? A Bush Hill and the garrison. That I see a for sale sign on. Boy, you don't know how I want to buy that. You have no idea how I want to buy that.
All right. Now, let me get serious now.
Yeah, I am.
This Clicquot issue.
Mm-hmm.
I sit down and I study this issue seriously.
Uh-huh.
Dennis... Since the days of the Panama issue, where all workers went to Panama, I don't know if you know the history behind it, there were a few black people who put together their money that they earned in Panama and they bought a few plantations out of the earnings as a group,
right.
Panama Group, I think it was named. So what I am saying, those people try to get a part of the economic pie because to own a piece of land in those days was important. So they were able to buy the plantations when they were selling cheap.
Cheap, yeah.
But somewhere along the line, I think the oldest one that remains right now is Fort Hill. Now, I studied the Clicquot issue. Never since then, after the Panama issue, that black people are, I would say, colored people. The people that invest the money in Clicquot had an opportunity that they were able to own estates. But you know what happened? I heard you mention how we pull at each other and critical of each other and where to get this money from and the next thing. You know, instead of all colored people rally behind Leroy Parks and Clicquot, knowing that this was enough. Affirmative decision to be owning estates like what is in St. John. You know, everybody went political. Leroy Parr should be locked up. You know what, boy? He like me or you. I went to Harrison College. No, you went to Harrison College. But that was a high.
So that's only half. That's only half of the. That's only half of the problem. The other half of that problem was the Trinidad and Tobago issue.
I know that.
I know that. I'm not denying the political connections, but the Trinidad and Tobago issue was the other problem.
Yeah, but when I sit down, Dennis, and I study it after looking through it, you know, like you perform a postmortem, I said, you know, this man Paris was on the right track. He was on the right track.
Which was the track was that?
I remember, and because of my political involvement from a young age, I remember when DeCosta Edwards was Minister of Housing and he started buying up plantations to divide them in house lots. And he was attacked by the officers of the time and told him he's taking good agricultural land to build houses. And you know what was his remark to them? If you're going to argue that the black man should have got a piece of the rock, he ain't got no plantation. You ain't got to cut it up for you to get peace. Right or wrong, then.
Sir, and this is, you see, and this is where the slide started. You see, what I would like you to do, as someone who spends so much time studying, I want you to study this. And this is the comment I was making to Brother Nasser as well. And this is the comment I was making generally. Here you have a minister of government who's buying up plantation lands and cutting it up to make it affordable and available to poor people. So he started the principle of using agricultural land and cutting it up. And his reason for doing it was, if they can't buy a plantation, how else are they going to buy a piece of the rock? Along comes a man who has 20 plantations. He ain't going to buy them, because some he inherited. So he got 20 plantations. And he sits down and he says, oh, so Mr. DeCosta Edwards buy one of my 20 and cutting it up. Well, I will take two of my 20, I will cut it up some more, and I will sell it at a cheaper price than Mr. DeCosta Edwards and cut him out of the market. So this is how market forces work. This is how the ball starts rolling, and this is how it keeps rolling down the hill, down the hill, down the hill. Because then that person is going to say, well, Mr. DeCosta Edwards is doing this to get votes. He is voting against my party. So I will allow my two plantations to be cut up, and I will give those houses to my party so they could give it to more voters and I could get my party in the power. You see how the process goes, sir? And then we get to the stage where the contractor or the businessman or the plantation owner, or the whomever that has the most money, makes the most contribution, and expect to get the most in return. And then we say, the system corrupt, and people corrupted my government. You see how it works, sir, how it starts?
Yes,
with what is a good idea, what may be done for good purposes, and then it becomes a mess.
Dennis, I can go on. I can go off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is so touching.
Mm.
And it is such a serious thing that we should sit down and ask ourselves, after 50 years, are we going forward or are we going backward?
Or are we just treading water?
Something, but I ain't going to take up much of your time.
All right,
Dennis,
sir.
As long as you are, you know, you got to make my contribution.
Fair enough, sir.
I would come back if we go into detail as to whether or not the working class is going forward or it going back. And last question I can ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of talk pertaining to the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
When these bonds are matured,
mm-hmm.
who are going to pay the interest?
I have asked that question a few times because depending on how much is actually taken up, the interest could be substantial. Somebody sent me a message on this saying that the banks have liquidity and they should make the same offer. I said, then if the banks are holding $9 billion and only $2 billion, you offer 5% on it. You know what's 5% of $2 billion? And if we already talk about the high charges, you got to generate 5 or 3% interest from somewhere to pay it. But that's just my call. 4341-790-266-4862. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout is your technical operator, producer. Dennis Johnson, the moderator. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. The comment I was looking at earlier about the interest, I was looking to read it. There it goes. Only a few months ago, we were constantly hearing that the banks were overly liquid. Where have those funds gone? The banks who now have the money, instead of juking out the civil servants, I work through the banks, let them call up their people as they always do, offer them the exact same terms being forced on civil servants. This will be the real test of it. That's a really sweet deal as it's being marketed. As it is, the highly liquid investors will surely accept the offer to grow their funds in these challenging times. Yesterday, I got a WhatsApp message from someone who said the banks, insurance companies, and credit union not touching it with a 10-foot pole, and they smiled greatly at that comment. Said today, see what I told you, it's not going to happen. The public sector wage analysis, I saw that too. It was sent to me by about 3 different people. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I am all right.
Good. I planned originally to call in connection with the discussion yourself and Mr. Nasser had, but in finishing off a couple of things, I heard mention made of a conversation in which I would have been the protagonist.
You sure it was you? All right.
Yeah. You said that you could get a lawsuit if there's only one person or
correct. If a limited number of persons, yeah.
Limited
if you say
number of persons,
correct. If you say the 2 men that drive bus ABCD, I ain't calling no name. Well,
right.
All two of them are you.
Right. Now, I had a good few years working with an American and a French, German, English pharmaceutical company. And I know the power of foreign exchange accounts. And in the 90s, when Barbados was going through a hard spot, those accounts came in very valuable. Now, in these times, back in the 90s, this makes the 90s and all others look small. Every cent you can save it, right? And the thing about it is, you know, all habits die hard. There was a time when the hospital bought all these medication, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But the days of agency have come in. And you can manipulate, you can dance around, you can flex. And it isn't that you get all the money one time and pay it back one time. You have term. You got your money, as you said, have to be repatriated.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that very well.
Good.
Sometimes there's no, right now I feel a mirror.
But let me ask you something. I did get what you were saying correct, right?
Uh-huh.
That you were saying that America could use their Canadian influences to bulk buy for all the Caribbean islands, etc., right?
And do hedging and all
okay,
that.
Okay, right. Business I just wanted to make sure I got you right.
Be not into, get out of that field. And the other thing that we have to learn in the region is a finder of energy is not teller of energy, is not a transporter of energy. Like when you go to the hydroelectricity, or you go to nuclear energy,
mm-hmm.
The nuclear reactor farm don't transport it. They don't sell it. Well, energy is neither created nor destroyed. That's one of the
basis of physics.
Right. So that's why I said finder. Now, and there was another one I wanted to speak to yesterday. I heard a gentleman who was talking to you so eloquently about the pension fund,
mm-hmm.
where the last 5 years they had done bonds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard you use the word, it's going to be a hard sell.
And in difficult times.
You heard me propose another area of those persons who went into the government service at a young age, like 18. You heard me with that one?
No, I didn't hear you with that
right.
one.
You, lots of people go into the government service at 18. They didn't go to university or anything like that. Even teachers. and they work and study. So you've got to go at least 50 years before you get pension emolument. So I'm saying, after paying 20 years towards your pension fund, government gratis, you're now 38. There's another fellow who is 48, who's 10 years ahead of you. And that, he spoke, your colleague yesterday referred to the bell curve. And at the base of the bell curve, that 38 to 48 represents 60% of the base of the bell curve. 60%, you know, Mr. John. I am saying, after 20 years, you get tired. Money just coming out. You don't even look at it. You can go to these, this, you can use the popular word now, cohort, this cohort of workers, and say to them, please may I borrow your
pension
contribution
fund
to pension for the last 5 years. Dennis can say, but David, why not for me? I said, all right. You see the next 5 years? We're not going to deduct anything from you.
But we'll make contributions on your behalf?
Pardon?
But you will make contributions on my behalf?
Yeah, it can get there.
Okay.
You can got a little more extra money to spend. Because it tends to get pending going at the same time. But then after 3 to 5 years, government is going to start paying you back, paying them back, that whole cohort of workers. Slowly, as we say, like a coolie man, incrementally, because you've got 20 years down the road to go. Then you start back up your payment after the little five-year holiday, the breather you had. All right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, when you're ready to get your handshake, you could very well get a 5% on top of your loan to government. It is something that, you know, the whole principle upon which taxes is based is that it is like an anesthetic. You don't feel the pain, but you gain the benefit. Now, getting around to Mr. Nasser.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Nasser said, and I hope I'm quoting him right.
If you're wrong, I'll tell you.
Pardon?
If you're wrong, I'll tell you, because
right.
I usually try to remember.
You've got good recall.
I try to.
You've got good memory. Your uncle gave me a saying working. One time, the world, what he said, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but they grind thoroughly.
My uncle tell you that?
Yeah, man. We would talk about that off air.
Good.
He used to do business with the business that I was involved.
All right.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I made the connection from your talk.
Anyway, oh, okay.
Mr. Nasser said, however we change a government, and we criticize the persons involved or the previous government, sorry. Then when a new government comes into being, we get a collar. These are serious words, you know. We get a collar and a leash put on and do the same thing. So it means it's somebody's dog. And you said later on, you know, it is unfortunate. When you were talking with Mr. Sobers, you said it was unfortunate that we bring our differences to the public, which is really unfortunate. But Mr. Nasser, it's hurting. Mr. Nasser, and I look at Mr. Nasser's comment, I look at Mr. Wood's disclaimer, and I look at a heated discussion between a surgeon and a GP, all working in the same establishment, that had to come to VOB. But the beautiful thing about it is, it went on the next day, and minions like I were able to put, and Miss Andy said, were able to put questions to the hospital directorate.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a commonality there going through, a common thread going through. Mr. Nasser worked hard, Mr. Johnson. You can't imagine how hard Mr. Nasser worked for the present administration in the constituency in which I ran. I know Mr. Nasser for years. And Mr. Nasser canvassed what you call three boxes, walk off his shoes, RA1, RA2, RD1. And it seems as if Mr. Nasser cannot, this is the conclusion I come into, cannot touch base with the one for whom he worked, he walked his shoes off. And then it looks as if Mr. Wood cannot understand the person for whom he walked his shoes off. And then you have a surgeon and a GP who spoke for the same individual on the same evening as nomination, one denominator or proposer, and the other one, you won't know these things, and the other one...
I'm trying to figure out how you know and why, but anyway,
because
go ahead.
I was involved.
Okay.
I am politics.
So let me ask you this question, right?
It seems as if that flow of information upwards is being pushed down by gravity. Then one dot could look at another one and says either his statements or him is disingenuous.
I am fascinated.
Look,
I am fascinated by the fact, right?
And that one can be solved at a building there on Tweed Side Road.
Mm-hmm. And the one that you're talking about could be solved when?
And Mr. Wood, pardon?
And the one that you're talking about can be solved where?
Which one?
The disingenuous and other statements.
No. That is what one MD called another MD.
I know that. I know exactly what you're talking about. And that's why I asked you, where can that one be solved?
I corroborate in your statement.
Okay.
It is unfortunate.
Oh, that's what you say. Oh, I was waiting on you to get around to what it was.
To the public. Did you say that, Mr.
Yes, I did. I did.
Right. You were about to ask me a question.
No, the question I was about to ask you is just that what happens to the organs that's supposed to, you remember the comment I made when I said there are disagreements in all kinds of organizations.
Right.
And across all creeds and colors.
Yes.
But you would find, for example, a brother would call a brother and say, listen, excuse me, you see this noise that you're making there over $500?
Yeah.
Both of us can lose the $500. So if you keep yourself a little quiet, I can get $300, you can get $200, and we'll split the $50 difference over a bottle of Hennessy.
Right.
And the matter fixed.
Right.
What has become of the organs that supposed to bind these institutions together? Whether it's the medical fraternity, the political fraternity, the the business community, where you used to gather at the Broad Street Club and
Bridgestone Club.
have a little liquid refreshment,
right?
And discuss these matters. What has become of that?
But there's no longer Bridgestone Club.
Oh well. Perhaps we should go to St. John and the Beach House and have a cookout.
To Bay Street. There's a yacht club. And you will find that club. It doesn't have a specific club. Clubs and organizations outside of platform politics feel a lot of risk, you know.
Whether it is
a white club,
a black club, a blue club, or a service club.
It doesn't matter, but clubs and organizations, after a game, you sit down and there's always somebody saying it enough. Whether it's a John Stanley Goddard or otherwise, or David Holford, or a Tony King, or a Raul Branca, who would say, boys, cricket dance. And all manner of things will be discussed. But the worst politics you could find, Mr. Dennis, is the politics, not platform, boardroom politics, office politics. A fella cut your throat with a scalpel, pun unintended, and you massage you like when you've been a sheep. Your eyes closed, you don't even know you swallow pipe cut. But when you get this sort of thing coming into the fore, it does not do well.
And that's why it's unfortunate, sir, that in I'll tell you what's unfortunate about.
And I feel for Mr. Nasser. Well, although
I feel for you.
He scared of me, a platform that slandered me at night.
That's what I'm about to tell you. I feel sorry for you. Let me say this to you.
I know Nasser personally. He knows me personally.
But sir,
I said, look, that'd be gone. But he didn't slander me.
Let me say
Mr.
this.
Mr. Nasser did not, and he would not do that, and I would not do that to him.
So let me say this to you. Here's what's unfortunate. And I'm taking this Barbados and stretching it outside of Barbados a little bit.
Right.
The Caribbean has, for decades, had representatives in government, right up to prime ministers and governors general, who may have shared what you call clubs. Some went to the inns of court together, some went X and Y, you know. They went to England together as boys and that kind of thing. And there was a network that one would pick up the phone and call the other one casually before they get to heads of government conferences.
Right.
We have politicians today who went to University of West Indies together who still share that kind of camaraderie.
Right.
You have a situation where a generation of politicians heading out the door.
Yeah.
Their time in office, you know, coming to an end and they're getting on in age. 72, 77, some, I mean, Pandey at 80, something or the other, still trying to get his daughter involved in the political fray in Trinidad.
You're singing the knock the meta.
Well, here you go. So you have a situation where the public service too, losing some people who've been there for a while, who've networked and understand the intricacies of government. And you have young politicians coming to the fray who have to be weaned and who have to understand the weight of office, and sometimes some of them a little consumed with their newfound power, some of them being tugged and dragged by permanent secretaries who know more than them and could wrap them around their little finger 10 times.
That's right.
What is sad for me is when persons who've been in the political fray and the political front lines for so long, rather than using their experience to culture and show some of the pitfalls and change some of the things that they do not like and try to help these new, let's call them neophytes, these new people in the fray, how to maneuver their way through the corridors of power. Squabbling in public.
But Mr.
That can't be a good example for the children when the wife and husband squabbling in front of the children. Let me put it in that context.
But Mr. D, there comes a point in time when people who have contributed financially to the campaign
want to get paid.
Want to be paid. So you tell the fellow who gave sweat capital, move wrong.
Right, because is you put 2 million, I put 200. Who you think I get called first?
But your capital raising is worth more than 2 million.
But you didn't put a price on it. So that's the problem. We don't put a price on the sweat capital. We just sweat because we like the prime minister. So we expect to get a little drizzle.
We can't put sweat capital to kickstart a campaign. But look at Britain, for instance. What's his name now again, Mr.?
Boris?
The new boss.
Boris Johnson,
Boris Johnson strikes me as a mediocre student. He played the game well. He waited until the lady's throat was cut. I don't even know if he caught any Theresa May. I always used to call her Theresa May or May not. He waited till the blood was caught, and he inveigled his way in. Never impressed me. He did not even understand the rudiments of the European Union, the whole European Commission, the European market. He didn't even understand it. You had two or three people in that chamber, including Mr. Ken Clark and the Mr. Speaker, who used to say, "Oh, those fellas." There's only a handful of them, three or so. Showed me, because I watched it. I made sure every night I went back and I watched it. They showed me that they were the one. But Boris wasn't into this. Boris wanted to hold his hands on government. And let me tell you something. The way in which he has dealt with the whole corona virus, he didn't know it was a herd from an HERD, from an HERD, shows me, and the way in which the National Health Service, the way in which they've catered for the elderly people in the home, showed me that he can win a seat down here, even if he came with the majority government. But he has a way of putting himself over. He's a marketing man. And now he finds himself in trouble.
The only one who's done that, sir?
With his personal advice.
But is he the only one who's done that?
No.
Who is God? Oh, good. And that is the point.
It goes further than the Caribbean, because you were talking about
Caribbean. I spoke about the Caribbean because I wanted to zero in particular. No, the reason why I don't want to extend it, sir, is because I still feel that politics outside of the Caribbean, influenced by things that we don't fully grasp, including money. And the money issue has made its way into our politics in a big way, and we don't know how to manage it. And that's why your sweat capital is one of the things I jumped on when you said it. So the fact remains, though, that people who, how was it David Thompson put it so eloquently, who labor in the vineyards should enjoy the fatted calf. The same, you know, Douglas Leopold Philip will not eat. It's a philosophy that is held. Thank you for your contribution, sir. Always interesting. Let me be very clear. The program is managed by John Stout, the producer, and me as the host. If there are 20 calls on a six-board call, I will try to get the 20 calls through. If there is one, I will talk, because if I don't, I will talk to myself, and you won't want to hear me talking to myself. Please do not try to control the program remotely. It will not work. 4341790. The WhatsApp message said that we carried a story at 12:30 that spoke about a positive case in a bank. When was the positive case discovered? The last two cases that were mentioned were Ms. Thompson, the ambassador, and the worker from the cruise line. And in the 12:30 news, it said there was a positive case. Can I shed some light on the situation? I can't. The only thing I see on the news report is that it was said that on Tuesday, May 26th, 2 days ago, the management was officially informed by a health officer that a customer who visited the Broad Street branch sometime during the course of last week, which I presume would be the week of the 18th to the 22nd, had tested positive. So it's either that person has not been brought to the public while the tracing has been going on, or there is some other reason. Unfortunately, as I said, sitting in this chair, I can't answer that question to your satisfaction. I could just tell you what was said.